This is an extra episode of UFO Encounters. In this episode, I'm talking about Harvard professor John Mack and his research into alien abduction. When Professor John E. Mack began interviewing people who claimed to have been abducted by extraterrestrial beings, he did not anticipate that it would consume more than a decade of his life, pull him into one of the most controversial debates in modern psychology, and ultimately redefined how he understood consciousness itself. A Pulitzer Prize-winning biographer and renowned Harvard psychiatrist, Mack had built his academic reputation on treating childhood trauma and exploring the human capacity for growth amid adversity. He was respected, admired, and unmistakably grounded in the conventions of his field. That is why, when he began taking alien abduction accounts seriously, it sent a jolt through the intellectual world. Harvard and the wider scientific community were suddenly confronted with an uncomfortable question. What happens when credible people report incredible things? Mack's journey into the abduction phenomenon began in 1990, when a colleague introduced him to Bud Hopkins, an artist and prominent investigator of UFO encounters. Hopkins had spent years collecting testimonies from people who believe they had been taken aboard spacecraft by non-human entities. Mack approached this material with a combination of skepticism and curiosity, expecting, perhaps, to find a pattern of delusion or fantasy. Instead, he found something he could not easily dismiss. Deeply emotional, often traumatic experiences described by people who appeared psychologically normal, stable, and in no way inclined towards hoaxes or hallucination. He began interviewing these individuals himself, sometimes spending months on a single case. As a psychiatrist, he was trained to explore the inner architecture of memory, dreaming, psychosis, and trauma. He tested for dissociative disorders, personality instability, and the telltale distortions of fantasy-prone cognition. What emerged was, in his words, a psycho-spiritual mystery that could not be neatly mapped onto any familiar category of psychopathology. The abductees, whom Mack preferred to call experiencers, did not benefit from medications, did not respond to conventional psychiatric explanations, and did not exhibit the patterns typical of delusional disorders. Instead, many were reluctant, embarrassed, even frightened to share what had happened to them. Mack noted again and again that these were not people seeking attention. They were seeking relief. The accounts of alien encounters that surfaced during John Mack's investigations follow patterns that were as unsettling as they were consistent. Experiencers described events that unfold at the ragged edges of consciousness, moments when the ordinary world slipped away and was replaced by a realm governed by unfamiliar beings and baffling intentions. Many recalled lying in bed at night, fully awake, or hovering in a state between waking and dreaming, when a sudden paralysis washed over them. They were unable to move, unable to call for help, yet acutely aware of their surroundings. Often, they sensed a presence before they saw anything, a subtle shift in the air, a faint humming vibration, or a peculiar feeling that they were no longer alone. When the beings appeared, the descriptions tended to converge with remarkable clarity. The small grey entity, thin body, oversized head, and dark almond-shaped eyes became one of the most familiar figures in abduction lore, though some experiences reported taller, more commanding beings who seemed to supervise the procedures. These entities did not speak aloud, but communicated through what witnesses described as telepathic impressions, ideas inserted directly into the mind, sometimes accompanied by a strange emotional resonance that suggested an intelligence probing their inner landscape. The transition from bedroom or vehicle to what seemed like a craft often defied conventional physics. Some reported a sensation of moving through walls or being enveloped in a beam of light that transported them upward. Some recalled floating above their own homes, seeing the rooftop shrink below them before losing ordinary sensory awareness. Time itself felt distorted. Minutes stretched into hours, or an entire night evaporated into a memory fragment lasting only seconds. Inside the craft, The environment was described as a mix of clinical precision and dreamlike ambiguity. The rooms were round or elongated, brightly lit without visible light sources, and filled with metallic surfaces devoid of sharp edges. The experiencers were typically placed on a table, examined with instruments they could barely describe, and subjected to procedures that ranged from benign scanning to deeply invasive intrusions. Many spoke of needles inserted into the abdomen, tissue samples taken, or reproductive procedures whose meaning they could only guess at. A number of women reported encounters involving hybrid infants, small, fragile beings they were made to hold, as if the visitors were seeking an emotional reaction or a form of maternal recognition. Yet not all aspects of these encounters were frightening. Some experiencers described moments of profound connection, as though the beings were conveying knowledge or warnings about humanity's future. They were shown visions of environmental collapse, war, or planetary destruction, conveyed with an urgency that suggested the visitors saw themselves as custodians or overseers. Others felt they were being taught, prepared, or transformed in ways that transcended ordinary experience. What struck Mac most powerfully was that these testimonies carried emotional weight far beyond that of a dream or fantasy. The fear was real, the trauma palpable, the details often remarkably consistent across individuals who had never met. These were lived events in the minds of those who experienced them, encounters that shook their sense of identity, expanded their understanding of reality, and left them grappling with mysteries they struggled to articulate. Mac's openness to the possibilities provoked sharp criticism from colleagues who believed he had strayed from scientific rigor. Harvard launched an inquiry in 1994 to investigate his research methods and determine whether he had violated the standards of professional responsibility. It was an extraordinary moment, a tenured professor being scrutinized for not misconduct, but for the implications of a hypothesis that many found intellectually intolerable. Mac defended his work vigorously, arguing that psychiatry should not be constrained by preconceived assumptions about what is possible. The university ultimately reaffirmed his academic freedom, though the episode left lasting scars. Mac had become a public figure in a debate that few in academia wanted to engage. Mac did not insist that extraterrestrials were physically visiting Earth, nor did he dismiss the possibility outright. Instead, he argued that the phenomenon might involve dimensions of reality that were poorly understood, perhaps akin to the ways indigenous cultures understand spirit encounters or visionary experiences. He criticized what he saw as the West's rigid separation of material and subjective realities, suggesting that consciousness might interact with the world in ways modern science had yet to explain. His critics accused him of abandoning objectivity. He countered that he was following the evidence of lived experience wherever it led. Yet he never approached his subjects with naivety. Many of his sessions involved exploring whether trauma, sleep paralysis, or cultural influence might play a role. He acknowledged the complex relationship between memory and emotion and the potential pitfalls of regression hypnosis, which he used sparingly and cautiously. But he returned repeatedly to one stubborn fact. Abductees consistently displayed trauma-like symptoms, anxiety, fear, nightmares, hypervigilance, despite having no identifiable disorder that it could explain them. Something had happened, something real enough to leave psychological imprints that were not easily erased. By the late 1990s, Mac had become an influential figure in what might be called the frontier of consciousness studies. He founded the Program for Extraordinary Experience Research to bring academic rigor to the study of anomalous events. Mac's life was tragically cut short in 2004 when he was struck by a drunk driver in London. His death sparked renewed interest in his work, and his legacy continues to inspire those exploring the boundaries of perception and reality. Today I was talking about Harvard professor John Mac and his research into alien abduction. And my book on verified near-death experiences is out now on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.